Thank you, Ringforth and Mary. Appreciate that. I have two texts this evening for our brief meditation. The first is recorded in your bulletin there as Psalm 13, verses 5 through 6, and then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Psalm 13, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." And then from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've been encouraged and blessed with the singing tonight and with the playing. We give thanks for these children who grow in faith through it, for those who direct them. So we pray now that as we shift to another dimension of your speaking to us, we've come to hear your word as well. So we pray for your Holy Spirit to bless it as we hear it. Pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me begin speaking to the children and then to the adults, including myself. About 2 weeks ago, I was at a women's luncheon at our church, and these would be, boys and girls, maybe people about the age of your grandparents, not your parents, but your grandparents. And so as we sat getting ready for lunch, a lady said, "Well, it's time to sit down, the hostess, and around your table there's a container with several pieces of paper. We'd like for you to take the container, take a piece of paper out, and pass it along." And so we all did that. A lot of people didn't know one another at the table. It was sort of a mixer, a way to get to know people at your table. And so people would take a piece of paper which had a question on it, and then they would be asked to answer the question so that people got to know them. There were questions like, what town were you born in? What did your husband do for a living? Where did you live most of your adult life? My question came to me was, what is your favorite hymn? Now that's easy, boys and girls, for me, because I was in about the third or fourth grade when I selected my favorite hymn, and I've had it a long time. In my Christian school, our class sang it, and I still remember it. In fact, Mr. Markey plays it occasionally on Sunday mornings for our communion services. I'd hate to ask Mr. Markey if he has a favorite hymn. He might have a lot of them as much as he's been playing. Maybe tonight you have a new favorite hymn. You've been singing for us, memorizing things. Maybe you'll remember years from now, as it happened for me those few weeks ago, where someone says, what's your favorite hymn? Maybe it's one that you sang tonight or last year, or you'll learn next year. Well, tonight I've chosen two brief texts for us, one because you sang, and the other because you're young. You sang, and I reflect on that from Psalm 13, and then because you're young from 1 Timothy chapter 6. You see, Timothy was a young pastor. Didn't have to be a pastor for us to learn from this text, but many of the things in there talk about the qualifications of deacons and elders. That's not what we want to talk about tonight. But the fact that he was a man who was going to learn from the great apostle Paul to be a pastor. So boys and girls, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, someone shared the gospel with you, a parent, a teacher, Sunday school teacher, maybe one of your choir directors. Same thing happened for Timothy, young Timothy the pastor. Somebody spent time investing in him, making a disciple of Jesus Christ. Just back quickly to when Paul met him. We'd have to go back to Acts, and I won't read that for us tonight, but it happens where Paul met this man in Derbe and Lystra, these two towns. He'd been there before, and he said to the men on the trip, he said, let's go back and visit the churches that we began and encourage the believers. And so that's what they did, and that's when he met Timothy. He had a good name, one of my favorite not only hymns but great verse. A good name is better than great riches, and to be esteemed is better than silver and gold. That's Proverbs 22:1, a favorite verse of mine. Timothy had a good name, and so he was pointed out to the Apostle Paul, and Paul said, well, we want you to be with us. come with us and minister to these churches. So as we think about that discipleship and what we can learn and what Paul did with Timothy, just think about this sentence for these two verses that come, these two selections of verses. Because Christ redeemed us, he lays claim on our lives. Because Christ redeems us, he lays claim on our lives. And I want to talk about three things that he lays claim on our life. The first is that his claim on our life is personal, boys and girls. It speaks to you particularly. Now, in the previous section of this 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at the third verse, there are some of these things where Paul is telling Timothy about the church and things to be careful about. People would think, well, I've got to make a lot of money, or I've got to do this or that. And he uses words, general words. He said, if anyone teaches, well, the word is anyone. Another place he says, those. That's a general term. And later on, just before our text, he said, some have wandered from the faith. You get those words? Anyone, those, and some. But I read to you the first verse from chapter 6, verse 11, the first two words, but you. Anyone, some, others, but you, Timothy. God's call on our life is a personal one. And Paul then mentions several imperatives. He said, flee and pursue righteousness, fight the good fight, take hold of the eternal life that is yours. Christ's claim on our life is a personal one. Not anyone, not some, not those, but you, Timothy. And you, whatever your name is, it's a personal claim. It's also a practical claim, and we learn that from the first verse that I read to you in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. All these imperatives Paul talks to Timothy about. Flee these things, and he begins to list them. Do this, don't do that. Pursue this list of qualities and virtues. So he talks to him in terms of the inside of his life. It's a practical discipleship, things of the heart. He goes on with righteousness and godliness and faith. Those are things of the importance of our internal life. And then he goes on to other people. Love them. The word's agape. It's Christ-like love, sacrificial love. He tells Timothy, love like that. Love like the Lord Jesus Christ loved. And then steadfastness. Don't give up, Timothy. This is going to be hard work. And gentleness. If you've ever met anybody who is a gentle spirit, you know that's a big draw for you. Somebody is kind to you and gentle. And Paul is saying, this is how to live. And then he goes on, fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Then going back to Psalm 13, the psalmist describes that he trusted in Christ, and so now he's going to rejoice in that. He's going to sing. He said, I'm going to sing because of the good things the Lord has done. It gives us a rationale. There's sort of a cycle in this where you trust in Christ, you know what he's done, and then you continue to rejoice and sing to him. Now, boys and girls, the most important thing that you can ever do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I hope you've done that. You're going to stand before him, as I will, everyone here, and we're going to need a righteousness that's not ours. We're going to need the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness, and we have that imputed to us by grace through faith. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven that your sins might be forgiven, and so there's a foundation laid tonight on the words that you sang. I was listening to them and reading them carefully, as everyone here was, to know that you're being given a foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You following me? There's a great truth in these two texts. It's a short one. Because Christ redeemed us, he lays claim on our life, and I'm telling you how he does that. He does it personally. Not those and some and others, but you, Timothy. But you, Frank, but you, Joseph, but you, Mary. And it's also practical. Flee, pursue, fight, take hold. Live in righteousness and godliness and faith and love and steadfastness and gentleness. And then we continue to trust him as we went back to Psalm 13. We sing and we rejoice because he's dealt bountifully, lavishly with us in Jesus Christ. And finally, God's claim on us is a perpetual one. It never stops. Paul charges Timothy in verses 13 through 14. He says, I want you to do this in the presence of God until he comes again. We're living each day thinking the Lord Jesus Christ might come. So it's never going to stop, this commitment to Jesus Christ. And then finally, at the end, we see this is perpetual. It never stops because Paul talks about the God that we worship. And it will continue on after we're raised from the dead. He's the sovereign Lord, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's immortal. So it's perpetual, this commitment to him. He dwells in unapproachable light. No one has seen him or can see him. To him be honor and glory forever and ever. I was on my first ship in the Navy a long time ago, and I somehow befriended, or maybe he befriended me, the senior enlisted man on the ship. And he had probably been in the Navy for 25 or 30 years, and I had just started. And so one night we were standing on the deck, it was night outside, and we saw over on the horizon and on a ship, depending on the size of the height that you're above the water, you can see something 7 or 8 miles. And so there was a ship that was flashing light to us in the Morse code. Morse code is something that someone developed. There could be short things, the light could be on for a short time or a longer time, and it spells the alphabet. And so these ships communicated, and the Master Chief said to me, do you know what they're saying? And I said, no, I don't know Morse code, and I don't need it for my job on the ship. And he said, well, they're asking us, who are you in Morse code? Identify yourself. And he said, do you know what every U.S. naval ship responds to when someone does that? And I said, no one's ever told me that. And he said this is what we respond to, every naval ship. U.S., standing for United States, U.S., man of war. You are coming across a U.S. man of war. Boys and girls, Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, but as for you, O man of God. You built on that tonight, knowing that you are a boy or a girl of God, a man and woman of God. And I challenge you to continue on in that commitment, in that discipleship, because the Lord Jesus Christ has laid hold and claim on your life, a personal claim, a practical claim, and a claim that will never stop. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've been enriched tonight. We've been encouraged in our own faith as the children have led us. Give thanks for so many have been committed to this choir. Children will grow, high school choirs, middle school choirs, adult choirs in school, in churches that they're a part of. All beginning here, all beginning in a commitment of their parents to bring them, all beginning with the commitment of those to teach them and to disciple them. And then to choose music that would bring honor to our Lord Jesus Christ, so that maybe someday, as it happened for me just a few weeks ago, someone would say, what is your favorite hymn? And I would remember to the third or fourth grade, and for these children tonight, perhaps to tonight. So we pray for your rich blessing, and we give thanks for those that participated and helped us to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things through his name. Amen. Let's rise together and we'll sing the doxology to close our service.